All right, cool. My name is Mark Reynolds. I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober since May 12, 2005. I got a sponsor. His name's Rich. And my home group is La Jolla Speakers Group. I'm actually cheating on them right now to speak here. AA is the best thing that's ever happened to me, without a doubt. Taking the steps was the best decision I've ever made. And I drank four shots on ice, and I don't know why I would do that before I was to speak in front of you guys. I'm tweaking right now on coffee. And I thought it was a good idea. I want to get pepped up for the talk, man. And I think I overshot the mark. So give me a second. Let me wind down a little bit. I'll jump. We're on the interweb is what I'm hearing. I didn't know that. Okay. Big time. I don't know. Catholic. Grew up Catholic. Was born in the Philippines, Navy family. And even from the get-go, when I was a kid, Bruce Springsteen had that Born in the USA song. And even then, I didn't feel part of, because I wasn't born in the USA. And everyone else that was, would say, Born in the USA. And I'm just like, dude, I was born in the Philippines. This is the land, man. And I didn't feel part of, and I needed a drink then. But I hadn't discovered it yet. And I don't know, I just kind of felt out of place from the start. We grew up in D.C. We were Washington, D.C., military family. And so we were over there, and we bounced around from D.C. to Chicago, Los Angeles, and then we finally landed in San Diego, and where I finally discovered alcohol. I mean, and from the get-go, when I first started drinking, it was 13 or 14. Like the third time I drank, people were talking about, hey, we're going to play Spin the Bottle, we're going to go TP a house, and I'm like, let's go steal a car. What are you guys talking about? This is amateur night or what, man? Like, let's do this. And I ran with the older kids, and I was just always on another level. Maybe another level down here, but a different level, maybe not a higher level. But I was just always, I had big, can you get this stuff out of here? Hold on. I wanted to do other things, bigger things. I wanted to pull, I was a mean little bastard. I would pull manhole covers off the middle of the street and just leave, you know, and just leave. And that's it. I never stayed to see who or what happened, or it was treacherous. I imagine that now. I have a motorcycle now, and I'm like, dude, what if some bastard pulls it? I'm gun shy everywhere I go. I'm nervous everywhere, and that's karma. I got it coming. God knows I got it coming. But I started drinking, and there was this guy out the street who was into heavier stuff, and the answer was yes, you know, and I jumped right into that, and before I knew it, I was putting a needle in my arm, and I was drinking as much as I could, and crime follows, man, and that's what happens next. And for the majority of my 20s, I was in and out of the penitentiaries, and that's just kind of. That's the hand I thought I was dealt, man. I didn't get sober until I was 30, and I'm 36 now. And I remember I'd go into Donovan, and you'd be wearing the orange jumpsuit, and you'd see the sign that said, no warning shots. And a lot of guys, you know, they felt fear or whatever it was, and I was just like, I made it, whatever, man. And it was just, I thought that's just the hand I was dealt, man. I thought that's, there's no one in this room that can beat me in a game of pinochle, spades, handball, dominoes, cribbage. Roland's got a pretty strong cribbage game, but I get him from time to time. And that was my life's work, was a strong handball game. Let me go back a little bit. My parents were into jazz, into a Billie Holiday, Sinatra, and all that good stuff. And they drank. We're Irish, you know. We're entitled to drink. And they had this Waterford Crystal, and they would pour their booze into the Waterford Crystal. My parents drank watered down booze for the whole time I was alive. They never got a stiff drink, dude, ever. But and the light. We're super Catholic. I was an altar boy, and my brother and I were altar boys, and we. Larry likes this, but the Eucharist, the body of Christ, all that stuff, we would take that, and we would put cheese on them and call them, check it out, dude, we got Jesus. And we eat the Jesus. Right? If you mix them with wine, like a bowl of cereal, we'd call them Christ checks. You know, and it was just, that was me and God, and that's kind of how I just thought it was kind of funny and serious and macabre at the same time, and I thought that's just how, Catholicism, that's what it is. But anyway, Water for Crystal. So I've smoked a lot of speed off of foil, so if I get sidetracked, you're going to have to help me out with that. Right. High school days. Water for Crystal, the sun would be shining through, and my parents had this bar. It was sweet. It was just the kind of thing against the wall. Not like a bar, but like a place where they had their booze and like a little diamond tuck thing with the buttons in the middle. It was, you know, really regal looking. It had the mirrors. And the sun would shine through, and it would bounce off the back mirror and go through the Waterford Crystal, and it would create these prisms all over the ceiling, and it was just like a glass menagerie of niceness. And I was like, oh my God, man. And like of all the religious stuff in our house, and it was, everything was Jesus, Mary, the Pieta, like everything was in there. Out of all that stuff, that was the most sacred thing in the house, was that freaking altar of alcohol. And it just, it looked regal, it looked debonair, and it looked like something I wanted to be a part of. And I never saw the guy with the trench coat and the brown bag, alcoholism, the guy playing handball, the strong horseshoe game convict that was to be. I never saw that coming. I just thought, man, that's like, oh, like all that, it was gorgeous. It was sacred. It was sacred to me is what it was. And so I didn't waste any time, man. Like everybody was, I would drink. I would watch Star Trek, and Star Trek would be on at midnight. I don't know if you remember. That was the local channel. I mean, you could do the rabbit ears, all that. And it was always on at midnight. So the old school, not the new, any of the new ones. There's all kinds of new ones. But the original Star Trek, I actually have a Spock tattoo. This is how much I love it. Don't let the tattoos fool you, man. I am an absolute dork. I'm an absolute dork. Anyway, so I'd watch Star Trek, and I would go out, and my parents lived upstairs, and I had this sweet little downstairs shot, and I would just go out, and I would pour myself a big tumbler of a glass, like an iced tea glass full of wine, and just kind of shuffle back into my room with some chips and watch Star Trek and drink this thing of wine and just get smashed. And I didn't even know that I was getting drunk. I mean, I didn't realize that everybody wasn't doing this. I was just like, this is how we do it. And I would hang out with my friends the same age, and we're like, dude, we got a six pack. I'm like, dude, I get smashed every night. What are you guys talking about? Like, I didn't get it, man. And I was just on a whole nother thing, a whole nother level. And basically that's how it was. I mean, I drank for effect. I drank as much as I could, as fast as I could. And I wanted to get inebriated, no matter what it was. I went through a little pot phase. That's cool. And then I love drinking, and I love heroin, man. I loved it. And like I said, crime follows. And I started doing all the stuff I got to do to stay well, I guess is how I could say it. To stay loaded. And I started, you know, my little 6-month county jail term turned into, you know, my sentences were getting longer and longer. Until finally I find myself in Donovan one more time. Every cop knew my name in Donovan. I'd go in there, it was like Norm Peterson from Cheers, man. I'm like, Reynolds, all right, what are you doing, buddy? And I was like, oh my God, these guys know my name. What'd you bring with you this time? Meaning, like, how much time did you bring with you? It's like, just doing a violation, man. I brought 2 years with me this time. And these cops were just like, we're gonna get you for the whole thing one of these days, man. We're gonna get you for life. And it was in the mail. I mean, I got two strikes, and it got to a point. I live in Golden Hill. I'm in the same apartment. I was in Golden Hill. Like my man said earlier, we didn't get here because we're on a winning streak. And I was violent, and everything that came out of my mouth was poison, and it was awful, man. And I was in my apartment. I had plenty of money. It wasn't lack of money, and it wasn't out of virtue. But I was in there. I was pacing back and forth. I had a Browning 9. I'm sorry. I had a Browning 380 on my little coffee table, and I was like looking at it. And I couldn't get sober, man. I'd been to AA. Every parole agent, principal, psychiatrist, the system had always sent me to AA. And I just kind of hung out in the back of the room, looked, saw the steps. I'm like, yeah, hippie, whatever. And I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with it. And it just reminded me of, like, Ocean Beach and patchouli and yoga and just all this other weak stuff that I didn't want anything to do with. I'm like, I'm not doing it. I don't live in OB, and I'm too hard for this. You know, it's too tough to do it all. And they'd always sent me to these places, and I didn't want to join the sober softball league, and I didn't want to be a coffee shop geek. I didn't want to do all that, you know. So I just kind of hung out in the back, and I said, "Oh, AA sucks, doesn't work." And I would go do my thing, and one more time, I'd be back in Donovan playing handball. Just going, how did I get here? Whose serve is it? My serve? How did I get here again, man? How did I do this again? And I would pace back and forth the night before I was to get out. I'm like, dude, just don't drink. If you don't drink, If you don't drink, you're not going to come back in here. Just get a job, get some chick, get some car, find a little apartment. You're going to be fine, man. Just mellow out. Surf a little bit, you know, play cards with the fellas. Just mellow out. And I was absolutely powerless. I had no choice but to drink, man. It snuck up on me. I don't care if I'd last a couple months sometimes, but then the thought would come in my head, like my man in the book, he says, why not have a little whiskey with your milk? And I have the peculiar mental twist. I have no defense against that. And even now I don't. I have a higher power that helps me out with that. But I always make that left turn. I'm in there and I'm just like, I'll just get a 12 pack. I'll just get a 6 pack. I'll just get a 40 ouncer of the beer du jour, whatever's out, some micro brew, because it seems a lot less. You know, if you get a 40 of malt liquor, that's like, yo, I don't want any trouble. But I'll get a micro grill. It'll be fine. It's a micro grill. Come on, we'll get a block of cheese. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I want to get smashed. And that's my alcoholism, man. It tells me stuff's okay. Like I'm listening to Sade drinking scotch by the fire with my back to. I don't drink like that. But that's what my head tells me. Like my rubbing my feet into a bearskin rug. I don't own a bearskin rug. I don't even know where to acquire one. And that's what my head tells me, is that's how it's going to be this time. And it's never like that. It's never like that. What was I talking about? Bearskin rug. It's in the apartment. I was in my apartment. I had a Browning 3. Skeevy? You said skeevy? Skeevy's a good word. I had a Browning 380, and I was pacing back and forth, and I'm just like, man, just blow your brains out, dude. Just call it a day. And I was just tired, man. I couldn't get sober, and I didn't want to get loaded. I could not get loaded, don't get me wrong, but I was tired of getting loaded. And I was sure that there was, you know, Catholicism didn't work. I grew up an altar boy. I figured if that would have worked, it would have worked a long time ago. AA wasn't working because all those guys do is play softball. And the prison isn't cool because all those guys do is lie and they spin up, you know, that's like the big grand prize to be an old timer in the joint. And I was just, the worst day of my life was the day I celebrate. It's weird, man. Like the day before I celebrate, May 12th, 2005 is the best day of my life. And then May 11th was the absolute worst, man. And I wanted to die. And I would I put it to my head, and I was just like, just do it. Just do it, man. Just pull the trigger. Call it good. Just do it. And I'm trying to psych myself up, and I put it under my chin. I'm like, just make sure it's one shot, dude. You don't want to be like the guy on the tube. I don't want to be the tube guy. You know, I don't want to do that. Just make sure you do it right. And I'm sitting here having this conversation, man, and I'm slipping in and out of insanity is what's happening to me. And I'm pacing back and forth. I'm like, dude, run up to the gun. And just kind of sneak up on it and do it. Do it. Just get it over with. Do it. And I'm trying to talk myself into blowing my freaking brains out. And I can't do it, man. I can't. I'm a tough guy. I've surfed 15-foot waves, man. And I don't know. I don't have the balls to do this. I can't do it. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm just like, man, you know what, God? And I reached back to this God that I had as a child and I used to pray to and I was an altar boy for. And that was the God du jour, and that worked to get me my foot in the door. And I prayed to that guy that day, and I just said, you know what, man, please help me do this. I swear to God, hey, I will go to these meetings. This is this prayer. I said, I'm going to go to these stupid meetings. I'm going to do all this weak, lame stuff on the wall, and I'm going to get one of these greasy old-timer sponsors. I'm going to drink the coffee. I'm going to smoke the cigarettes, and I'm going to do it. I can walk the line. I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it for a year. And if this AA doesn't work after a year, I'm going to take this gun and I'm going to kill cops until they kill me. Not real people. I don't want to hurt any real people, but I want to at least take some cops out with me and just go out, you know, in a blaze, man. So the fellas on the yard, like, did you hear about Mark, man? Yeah, blaze of glory. Like Matrix, like dodging bullets. And like, that was the best I could hope for. And it was a great idea at the time. And that's still the plan, actually. It's just kind of pushing it and extending it as time goes on. So I came to AA, man. I came to, I had been to every rehab in town. The only one I made it through was the Freedom Ranch. Probably because you're like 90 miles up the coast of Florida, wherever the hell we're at up there. You can't leave. You're like, all right, dude, you're going to die of thirst. Either stay here or die of thirst. That's your option at the Freedom Ranch. It's in Campo. So I stayed. And I made it through that one. And is that going to be on the tape? Can you edit that out? It's all about me here. Stealing my thunder, man. Come on. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. All right. So I'm the asshole. Okay. So So I start going to these meetings, man, and I weigh 150. I think I'm yellow. My eyes are sunk back in my head now. I look like the Walking Dead. I look like Skeletor. And I go to one of these meetings, and I had seen this guy around named Peter Fleshman. He had been coming around for a long, long time. And I would say, I hate him. I've seen Seinfeld, and the New York Jew shtick is boring to me. And that's what that guy reminded me of. I'm like, whatever, man, I can't stand that guy. And I saw him over and over and over. And I finally asked him, I go, you know, I've seen you around for a lot of years, in and out, and I need help, man. I'm dying. I kind of gave him a brief summary of what I just told you, and he's like, you know what? Come to my house. Be at my house tomorrow. We'll get into the steps. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I don't even know how I can't remember how I even got there, man. When I got sober, I was coming off of about a gram of heroin a day. I went through this scotch phase. I don't understand why I did that. I had this VCR. First of all, I had a VCR, which is awful. This is 6 years ago. I had a VCR still, right? It's not a Betamax, don't get me wrong. It wasn't that bad to have a Betamax. But I had a VCR, and I had Braveheart was my only movie. And I watched that movie. I watched Braveheart 1,000 times, I bet you. You've got to find something new, Mark. You know what I mean? And I have the Scottish brogue now. But I was going through the Scotch phase, and I would watch Braveheart, and I would quote the movie, and I would... Braveheart is actually a big part of my story. When it comes to step two, I swear to God, there's a scene where he's got the sword and the fire behind him, and he's praying to God, this big masculine dude. We'll get there. I'm getting ahead of myself. Peter Fleshman. Met that guy. He's dead now. Peter died 2 years ago. I talked to him, and I went to his house, and he's like, here, let's get into the book, man. And about a week before, I had gone to a meeting in La Mesa. It was called Over the Bridge. I was going to that one. It's a step in tradition study. And I went there, and I brought... You got to understand, I just made a deal with God. I'm going to give AA my best shot. And when I give something my best shot, watch out, man, because I'm coming at you with all guns blazing. And that's how I started out doing AA. I had my big book. I had my highlighter. I had everything. I wanted to get sober. I was in it to win it, man. I still am. And I brought all my stuff, and I'm sitting there front row. And I'm waiting for the speaker, waiting for the guy to start. And Peter Fleshman walks by me, and he looks at me, and he's just like... And he sees my 12 and 12. Didn't feel judged, didn't feel anything. And I'm just like, just say something. Say anything. I'm going to smash your face right now. Say anything. He sits next to me, and he puts his hand on me like this. He grabs my 12 and 12, and he highlights this. Doesn't say a word to me. Highlights this, gives me the book back. And it says, why all this? This is page 24 out of the 12 and 12. It says, why all this instance that every AA must hit bottom first? The answer is that few people will sincerely try to practice the AA program unless they have hit bottom. For practicing AA's remaining 11 steps means the adoption of attitudes and actions that almost no alcoholic who is still drinking can dream of taking. Who wishes to be rigorously honest and tolerant? Who wants to confess his faults to another and make restitution for harm done? Who cares anything about a higher power, let alone meditation and prayer? Who wants to sacrifice time and energy in trying to carry AA's message to the next sufferer? No, the average alcoholic, self-centered in the extreme, doesn't care for this prospect unless he has to do these things in order to stay alive himself. Under the lash of alcoholism, we are driven to AA. And there we discover the fatal nature of our situation. Then and only then do we become as open-minded to conviction and as willing to listen as the dying can be. We stand ready to do anything which will lift this merciless obsession from us. And he highlighted that in my book, and he gave it to me, and he walked away, and I just kind of looked at it, and I was like, under the lash of alcoholism. That's what it is. Under the lash of alcoholism, it had put the gun to my head, and it put me in jail, prison, I mean, running through people's lives like a tornado, and that was the lash of alcoholism. And the end result was me sitting in that meeting. I struck a deal with God, and I was ready to go to any lengths to get sober. And that's still what I'm doing. So when Larry asked me to speak, it's like, yeah, the answer is yeah. When you get asked to speak, it's like it ruins your whole month. And they tell you like 2 months in advance. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. Every time you're happy, you're like, oh, yeah, this is fun. Oh, I got to speak in a month. And it's just like, it's, you know, here it is now. Anyway, smoke speed off of foil. Peter Fleshman. Peter Fleshman was, so I went to his house, and he's read that to me. So I go over there, and we smoked, man. We smoked a pack of cigarettes. We drank a gallon of coffee. And he started reading the big book to me, reading it to me, because he knew I wouldn't read it. If he would have been like, okay, read page 1 through 164 and just call me in the morning. He knew I wasn't going to read it. You know what I mean? I could read a Tom Clancy novel in a heartbeat. I can read the Louis L'Amour's. I can read a book in a day. I've been to the joint. I can read. I read the Sidney Sheldon. I'll nail them all, man. Easy. Cup of coffee in the morning. And just smash through those things. Kid, anybody who's done time knows what I'm talking about, man. Smoke a book. But when it comes to this, this is a great paperweight. Or I've actually smoked an entire Bible, because the Bible paper is very thin, and when you're out of papers in the big house, you gotta make do with what you got. So you rip a proverb out, you twist it up, and you smoke a cigarette. You gotta do what you gotta do. It's very thin paper. I mean, you can't get the gold leaf stuff. That's a different thing. But we're reading, and I don't know what he said, man. None of it sunk in, but I knew for the first time in a long time I was doing something good for myself, man. And we did steps 1, 2, and 3 right there. And I had this thing with my higher power, and I kind of went with my mother's higher power when I first came to AA, which is basically Catholicism. And I just remember it, and I was trying to find a way. I was trying to find a way to make the whole prayer thing cool, because for me it was like just the whole steps and all the big words they use, meditation and spiritual awakening, and it just sounds like your yoga instructor on your blue mat, and I want you to do the downward dog now, and it's just like, dude, and that's just what it reminded me of, was this weak shit, man. I didn't want anything to do with that, and so I remembered that stupid movie Braveheart, dude, where that guy has his shield, Uncle Argyle has his shield right here, and he's got his sword, and he's saying this, I don't even know what he says, is it some Scottish brogue prayer? But there he is. There's this masculine dude, and he's got a sword, and he's on his knees, and he's paying homage to a power greater than himself. It's basically the point I'm trying to make right now. And I was like, well, if Argyle's doing it, I can do it. The Vikings did it, you know what I mean? These Native Americans did it, and they don't have some weak yoga god, you know what I mean? I want like a cool god, you know? So I started praying to whatever, man. And I started praying, I'm just like, I was willing to believe that there was something bigger than me to get me through this. And I left that day. He says, Mark, I want you to start your fourth step. But this is like week one, man. I'm starting this stuff. And I don't know that I could have taken my time, but he said, I want you to burn it out. And I'm like, so I live alone, and I have this spiral notebook in front of me, and I just dug into it. Because don't forget, I made this deal with God, man, and I'm a hard charger, and I made a deal. I'm going to stick it. I don't welch. So here we go. Boom, and I start writing my fourth step, and I get it all written out, and I sit on it for a few days, and I'm thinking, I was doing sheet metal at the time. I was killing it. I was making like $40 an hour doing sheet metal. We were working up at the Indian reservations, prevailing wage, and I had a $1 million, and I was killing it. I wasn't buying anything. I was just going to be, I had that early sobriety, that good life where you're just kind of going to meetings, you're going to the coffee shops, you're just doing what people tell you, and it's really simple. God, I love that. The beginning of sobriety is awesome to me. Now it's watered down with toys and women and everything else, and I've ruined everything. And you know what I mean? I should have just kept it real simple and mellow, and that would have been fine, but I overshot the mark again. But I had this thing, and I was kind of pacing back and forth, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to turn this in. I'm going to take this to Peter. And we went to, he says, we're going to go up to Bellflower Big Book Group, and we're going to go hear a couple big shots speak up there. And I said, all right, wherever we're going to go. And we left at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're going to Bellflower. I guess a guy named Clancy was speaking. Never heard of the guy, right? So we get in the car, and I got my fourth step, and it's thorough, man. I wrote a tome of resentments and sex inventory, which wasn't much. I mean, prison sex, I mean, that doesn't count, does it? I'm kidding. You can't tell that I'm joking on the computer. I'm totally kidding. This video would be funny because they could see my face that I'm not serious about the prison sex. Anyway, and you know, so I had this solid inventory, and we're driving up there, and I'm just reading, man. I'm flipping pages, and I'm going through it, and you know, some of it we went through, and he's like, okay, stop at that one for a minute, and we would talk about that, and it was thorough, man. And we went up to this meeting, and we came back, and I listened to the speaker. I was kind of new in sobriety, don't really remember too much about what he said, and but I knew I was doing something good for myself. I was in a meeting, I was drinking coffee. Sponsors next to me. I'm in the right place, you know. And we're in Los Angeles. We were coming back down, and I'm still reading. And I just remember Peter would just constantly be smoking, but he would never light another smoke. He just always had a half-lit cigarette that just kind of, I don't even think he was a real dude. He was just like a ghost guy, and he always just had like a half cigarette, man. And he's just, and I'm sitting here, and I'm talking about my dad and my stepdad, and I haven't cried, man. I haven't cried since Good Will Hunting, that movie. I don't know why that movie gets me. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. And that movie makes me cry. And I'm reading the fourth step to this guy, and I'm crying, dude. And I'm crying, and I look over, and he's just like, just listening to me, dude. And he's 25 years so. He's heard it all, dude. He's not worried about my little plans and designs and my stuff, man. And I'm reading, he's nothing he's not heard before. And I'm reading it, and I thought it was the biggest deal in the world. And we're driving back down, and we go to his, I'm not done yet. We get to his house, and Peter has a wife, and Joy. And Joy, you know, they got the dog, they got 2.5 kids, they got the pool, the nice spread up in this neighborhood, Del Cerro, right up the street. And we're there too, and I still weigh 150. Maybe I'm taking in more calories now, but I look terrible, man. And this guy's, and his wife comes down, and she's never met me before, and I'm like, hi, you know, it's 2 a.m. and she's, oh, how you doing? And I'm like, and it didn't dawn on me until like I was 2 years sober that these people took me into their house, and I was just sitting on their couch, and the time that he took for me, knowing I wasn't going to stay sober, I wouldn't bet a penny on a guy like me to come in. Like, good luck, dude. You know what I mean? Good luck with you, man. And which goes to show that everyone I've picked to stay sober is drinking. And who can call? I can't call. Anyway, so it didn't dawn on me that this guy's got a great life and all this stuff, and he took time out for me. The selflessness of that, the altruism of that, and I use that now when I sponsor my guys, and I just try to think whenever something's really inconvenient. If it's not inconvenient, then I'm not doing AA right. You know, that's how I basically sum it up. If it's not inconvenient, it's not service. You know what I mean? If I'm getting paid for it, it's not service. So like when I pick my when I get, you know, the new commitments come out, like, give me something, just let me clean the bathroom. Like, I'm happy, it's just slinging a mop in the bathroom, and it's just like, me and God, mop handle, here we go. Like, this is it, this is cool. Keeps me down, you know, to what service, you know, for me really is, man. It's a big, big part of my sobriety, is Peter made it perfectly clear. Just go to a meeting, get there early, stay late, pick up cigarette butts, you know, pick up coffee cups, and find a commitment no matter where you go. And that's kind of what I try to do now. That's what I do now. That's how I do AA. It's basically, if it's not inconvenient, I'm not doing it right. So when one of my sponsees calls and it's inconvenient, hey, I need a ride. And it's just like, dude, you're putting salt in my game, bro. You're like a mile out of my way. How inconvenient is that? Dude. And it's just like, come on, let's go do it. And it's just, you just get it over with. And I kind of have my little thing with Peter on that. He's the best dude I ever met, man. He's closer to, when he died, man, God, it was like closer than family. I mean, my brothers don't know all this stuff about me that I read to him on my four step and my ninth step. Give me a break. And anyway, so I'm doing my fifth step with him, man. At 2 o'clock in the morning, he goes, all right, look, I want you to go home. I want you to spend an hour, and I want you to do your sixth step, man. I want you to be, you know, the fourth column of your fourth step. Are you entirely ready to have God take that stuff from you? And at the time, the answer was yeah. Now that I'm 6 years sober, I realize that the answer isn't always yeah, man. I think without a doubt, six step is the hardest one there is, period. Without a doubt. And I went home and I did my little 1 hour thing, and I called Peter in the morning. I'm like, yeah, man, all right, let's jump into seventh step. Seventh step is, I prayed. I prayed for God to take away the fourth column of my fourth step, man, and to take it all. And from all the paperwork that I had done, the fourth and fifth step, I had acquired this list of people that I had harmed. And that made up the majority of my eighth step, and I got into that and started making these amends. But, you know, I got to talk about the sixth step for a little bit. You know, I cut hair. As a professional, I cut hair. I quit doing sheet metal. I learned how to cut hair on the joint, and I wanted to cut hair professionally. And I went to barber school, and I got everything, got licensed. And I do it for a living, and it's a great job. I laugh all day, and I got this. I was on my way to work one day, and on the 94, if you go out, Coca-Cola is on this side, and the Holy Cross Memorial Cemetery, baby blue thing. Yeah, that thing's awesome. So I'm not. I don't consider myself Catholic. Christmas and Easter with mom, you know, I get the ash for Lent and all that stuff. But every morning when I drive past it, I say the prayers of the house, and I see it, and I always just kind of give the old, I say this third step prayer and the seventh step prayer as I drive by there. And I whisper those prayers, and I'm like, I turn the radio down, throw the cigarette out, and this is me and God time here, you know. And I'm driving, and I finish that prayer, and I'm on top of the world, and I see some highway patrol guy pulling this dude over with like a baby in his arm. And I said, scumbag. I mean, it wasn't a nanosecond after I just said, amen, scumbag, amen, scumbag. I mean, it was that fast, just from hero to zero, just like that. And I was like, you know what, man, I'm 6 years sober. Man, and I go around and I still have this resentment toward cops, toward authority, tow truck. I don't even like firemen. You know what I mean? I don't know. They got badges. They're close enough. Dude, get away from me, man. Whatever. And I never understood, like, when a cop has the walkie-talkie thing here, instead of being like 2 out of 12, they got to go 2 out of 12. And they do the next thing. Like, the coast to coast, every cop, 2 out of 16, Mary 9. I don't know, it's just, it bugs me. The flat top haircuts, the mustache, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. It runs through my veins, man. And I drive, maybe it's I'm Irish, I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm ex-con or whatever it is. I can't stand authority, I can't stand all that stuff. And I'm driving past them, and I sponsor a lot of guys, and here I am. But second after I pray, I got to say, oh, this scumbag cop pulling this guy over. 7 o'clock in the morning. Let the guy go to work, man. Jeez. You know, and who knows what the guy was doing? You know, who knows? But I said, you know what, God, come on. My father doesn't drive around town cursing policemen. You know what I mean? My dad's a regular Joe Q, 10-2 guy, you know. And he pays his taxes. He's a regular dude. He worked at the Pentagon for like 32 years. He's like a regular guy. He's got a Cadillac. What are you going to do? So I don't know what that means. Cadillac. Anyway, he's a regular guy. Driving by, and I'm just like, you know what, God? Okay, God, help me. Help me take away, sixth step. I am entirely ready, God, to have you take away my hatred toward cops, toward authority, toward all this stuff. As of right now, do it. Bring it. This is what I want. I've never prayed for this. I don't really pray for stuff. I say the seventh step prayer and the third step prayer, basically what I keep it down to. But this is what I want. This is what I pray for right now. And I go to work. Nothing happened. I mean, nothing happens in AA for me. Overwhelming. Nothing happens overnight. A couple weeks. This is World Cup's going on. I love soccer. I've always have played it, watch it, love it. And I know every team, every player. And this guy comes in. We got a cup game going, and he sits down, and I drive him, and he puts his cross in his leg, and he's got a pistol in his ankle. I go, you expecting trouble or what, dude? Like, what's going on, man? Be cool. You're in the barbershop. Like, relax. You're not going to get whacked. And he's like, oh, no, I'm talking to this guy for like 20 minutes, man, about soccer and all this stuff. And then finally he flips his leg up. And halfway through his haircut, I go, dude, why do you have a gun, man? And he goes, oh, I'm a cop. And I'm just like, yeah, what'd you do that for, man? We're getting along. We're talking soccer. We're talking sports. Dude, this guy was rad, man. This guy was awesome. Nothing skeevy about him. He was cool as shit. And I was just like, oh, what a drag, man. What a drag. What a loss. This guy, I would have counted this guy among my friends. Like, dude, did you watch the game? He would have been one of those guys. A go-to soccer guy. There's not too many soccer guys. I need soccer guys. And this guy, and I was just like, oh, what a bummer. See, and I cut his hair, gave him a good cut, and he left. Comes back like the next week, he brings his kid with him, right? Cool kid. He got a little soccer uniform on. He knows I'm a soccer fan. And it's almost like another sober alcoholic. Once you find one, you're like, dude, I need to talk to you. Like, soccer fans are like that, dude. You'll get a 3 a.m. call. Seriously. Anyway, because all that happens in Europe, and you can't even pay, you know, we're sleeping and they're awake. Anyway. So he comes in with his kid, good kid, man, and I cut his hair, and I cut, you know, Oscar's hair again, and then it dawned on me, I'm like, dude, I prayed for this, man. This is what I prayed for. I prayed for God to soften my heart toward this stuff, man, and all of a sudden, here comes this dude with this good kid. He's not like a, douche cop, you know. He's not like one of these guys, ticket writer. He's like legit. He's from Echo Park in Los Angeles. Tough guy. Got out of the neighborhood, came down to San Diego, and now he's a gang cop, a gangbuster dude. Helpful, you know what I mean? He's 2 out of 12. He does not. I don't even think he wears a uniform. He's like undercover type dude. If the fellows on the yard heard me talking good things about law enforcement, I'd probably get whacked. Anyway, whatever, bring it. So, So and then all of a sudden, like a week goes by, and he brings his partner in, right? And I get nervous, man. And I'm just like, we old school. We use straight razors. You know what I mean? I have weapons now. Styling them in. And I don't think it didn't cross. I'm alcoholic. I don't think it didn't cross my mind. I guess, well, flat top. Go a little bit lower this time. Or how about around the neck area here, man? A little Sweeney Todd action. So I cut him up, and he's cool. He's just, you know, he's not as cool as Oscar. He doesn't know anything about soccer. He's just a regular guy. I'm like, all right, cool. And I'm doing like five of those guys. And then I'm sitting there cutting this other CHP dude comes in, man. FBI guy comes in. They all know each other. You know, they're all buddies. And this guy goes, you know, Mark, man, you ought to do a ride-along with me one night. I'm just like... You know what I mean? Dude, I ain't doing a ride-along. I'm not doing a ride-along, dude. No, the answer was no. You know what I mean? I'm just like, you know, I got to stay cool. I got that thing. That night. Anyway, they know I'm sober. I'm in the phone book, man. I don't let anybody, you know, I'm not like, hey, I'm sober. Hey, be cool. You know what I mean? I just, whatever. And if it comes up, it comes up. And we actually have a beer at our shop. There's a 12-pack in there. Guys grab beer sometimes. Some guys don't, whatever. And I make it well known, and I have this little tiny thing, a little triangle. And facing away from my chair, the people zone in. I'm like, who's sober here? And the little AA triangle. I'm just like, oh, that's me, man. And I keep it real low-key. Other than that, it's like, you know, what's that? Pabst Blue Ribbon. We have a little light-up sign. We got a Samuel Adams thing. Just whatever. But that's I don't know. That's my thing. I don't care. If anyone knows I'm sober, I mean, that's cool. Like, that's my primary purpose is to stay sober and help another alcoholic achieve sobriety. And how am I going to sneak around and be like, hey, I'm anonymous. I mean, I'm tattooed. I have a gun on my head. Like people don't think I'm a douchebag anyway. Okay. Whatever. So this is what I pray for, man. The sixth step. And I didn't realize it until a couple years ago. Like, sixth step's hard as hell. Like, that's the one that really got me where the most growth came from, man, was a sixth step. Actually wanting to be, to change and pray for the stuff that, for long-term sobriety. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not, like, driving around town now when I see a cop. I'm like, oh, I wonder, I bet he's a good worker. You know, I bet he's a real hard worker. My local law enforcement agency. You know, I'm not getting soft or anything. I'm just saying that it's mellowed me out a little bit, you know, and it's cool. And these guys are all right. They're actually all right. And this is what I pray for. I pray for strength, and God puts challenges in front of me to get stronger, you know. And I, that's just kind of how I look at it, you know. So I'm with Peter, and I says, Mark, you know, it's time to do your 9-7. He knows I blew it. I told him I had this great job, prevailing wage. And we go up to Los Angeles one more time to Bellflower, and he goes, I want you to stop by the bank here. Stop by Walmart. And I go, oh, that's my bank too. So I go in there, and he goes, I go, wait a minute, I thought you went to Bank of America. He goes, I do. I want to check your state. I'm like, all right, you know, I got nothing to hide. I got like 12 G's saved up at this time. That's a lot of money for me, a sober guy. You know, I got a year, I got 12 G's in the bank. I'm doing all right. I'm not even a year sober yet. And I just started my ninth step. And Peter was big on that. Peter was big on financial amends first. Like, work all week to make an amends. And I, you got to remember, I was going to blow my brains out. So if it came between 12 grand and blowing my brains out, I'd give 12 grand any day of the week. And so I started with my ninth step. And he goes, all right, look, I want you to go to this guy, this boss I work for, a sheet metal guy. And I had done a side job. This guy hired me out of prison every time I got out of prison. He goes, Mark, hey, I'd call him up. Hill, I need a job, man. You got tools? Nope. You got a license? Negative, Ghost Rider. I got nothing. You know, I mean, that's usually how we roll coming out of prison. We have nothing. We have state issue jeans and a white T-shirt, man, and some prison issue shoes, and you go from there, pretty much. I've done that. A lot of us have done that. I know Roland's done it more times than I have. Jesus. I mean, you just start over, and this is par for the course, and that's how it is. And I call him up. He's like, I need a, and I'm a good worker, man. And he says, all right, just be here in the morning. So I'd show up, and he'd float me a couple $100, go get a hammer, go get da-da-da-da, and I would start out. But I stole from this guy, man. I mean, some guy offered me $2,000 to do a little side job, and I took him up on it, had the material, boom, and I knocked it out in a few hours, and whatever. And I never even thought about it, but it made my eighth step, and in turn made my ninth step. So I went over Do I have 10 minutes left? Is that what it is? Okay. So I went to this guy and I called Peter and I said, all right, I'm going to start making these amends, man. And I brought him $2,000. I had it in an envelope and I walked in and I said, Bill, I need to talk to you, man. And he's like, hey, Marky, what's up, buddy? Give me a big hug. And I go, oh, you look great. But this time I gained a few pounds, getting some color in my skin, man. And he knows I'm not drinking, knows I'm not loaded. And he's happy to see me. He's genuinely happy to see me. And I go, Bill, hold on a sec, man. Listen, when I was working for you, I did a side job. And this dude is a corn-fed white dude. He's just like a Viking. He's like Uncle Argyle from Braveheart. He's this big dude. And I go, you know, I did a side job and I stole from him, man. And I brought some money and I had $2,100 bills in there. And I kind of led with those. You know what I mean? Like, I got money for you. And he's just like, and he flew at me from across the room. He's right in my face. He's like, you son of a that I hired you every time out of prison. I gave you the benefit of the doubt that no one would even touch you. And I hired you. I fed you. I clothed you. And you're going to stay. And he was just breathing on me. And spit was coming out of his mouth. And he is right here. And I'm just like, Bill, I have the money for you right here. And he's like, takes the money. Bam, throws it against the wall. Money's flying. It was like something out of a movie. Money was flying out of the envelope. And he goes, get out of here. Don't ever come back here again. If you do, I'm going to hit you in the head with a hammer. Get out of here. And I was just like, dude. And I called Peter. I'm like, what was that? What was that? How was that hand-in-hand, broad highway, spirit of the universe creator? Where's the promises on that one, bro, you know? And Peter was stern, dude. He's like, did you give him the money? Get out of there. Your part's done. Get out of there. And that was it. And I went to the East Coast. I had, my dad had co-signed a motorcycle for me. He was in Washington, D.C. Co-signed a motorcycle for me. And I had drunk, strung out, crashed it, ended up in a tow yard, never got it out, didn't make payments, whatever, it's not my problem. My dad's problem, he co-signed it, whatever. And I owed him 5 G's. So my dad, in order to save his credit, he paid the whole thing off, and I owe this guy $5,000 now. So I bring $5,000 with me, I go over there, and Peter made me start with the big ones first. I mean, if you can pay $5,000, by this time I had a financial investment in my sobriety. I'm like, dude, I'm not drinking now. I just paid $2,000. There's no way, man. You know what I mean? He knew. He knew how my head worked. He knew. So I got this 5 G's now, and I talked to my dad, and I go, hey, you know, Dad, you know, I brought that money for that bike. He's like, oh, you know what, son? I'm just glad you're sober. You know, Dad's going to let you off the hook. You know what I mean? I'm just glad you're sober. And I'm just like, it's like a $5,000 now. You know what I mean? So I called Peter. I'm like, yeah. Try to pay the money back. It's a no-go, Peter. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's not taking it. He's not taking it. And he's just like, yeah, you're not going to take no for an answer. I don't care if you got to put it under his pillow. You leave that money there. And I'm just like, dude. And I go, hey, Dad, Peter's not going for it. So I got him over here, and he's like, what is he, Jewish? I go, yeah, he's Jewish. It's funny that you say that. Like, what do you mean by that, Father? You know? And so we're bouncing back and forth, and finally, I mean, I all but put them on the phone together, I swear to God. And then Peter finally says, or my dad finally says, look, tell your sponsor that you can pay me 10 cents on the dollar. That's all I'm taking. Other than that, I'll mail it back to you over and over and over. I go, Peter, man, 10 cents on the dollar. He's like, all right, as low as he's going to go. I'm like, yeah, man, that's as low as he's going to go. And yeah, I went for it. So I had to pay Dad $500. He let me off the hook. But don't get it twisted. I had to pay that $4,500 toward other stuff. And I went down the line, and we surgically did my amends. Like, it was surgical, man. I mean, I saw the guy 4 nights a week. I was going to meetings with him all the time. And it was like a kid with a straight-A report card, man. I'd run to him, I'd be like, dude, check it out. Okay, I got this one done. I got this one done. You know what I mean? And I was on fire with AA, man. I was on fire with Alcoholics Anonymous. I still am. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life, man. And so now I stay current with my new sponsor, Rich Nicolosi, and I go to a lot of men's meetings, and I go to La Jolla Speakers meeting. Just kind of, I don't know why I still go to that meeting sometimes. I don't always love it, but I go have a commitment there. I'm a literature guy over there. I've always had a commitment, and it's just maybe I'm superstitious. Peter was at that meeting, and I still go to that meeting. I don't know. I sponsor guys, man, I think I'm gonna wrap it up here in a second. There's a lot of new guys in the room, and you got to give AA a shot, man. I really hope you're done. I don't know. I never understood that when someone said, "I'm done." That's it. I'm done drinking. I'm not done drinking. You know what I mean, I'm not done drinking. That's why I keep coming to AA. I'm scared to death to drink, and I know what would happen if I was to take a drink right now. I would my teeth would get numb. and this little stupid gap would close up, and I'd get a little bit tanner, and my get a little thicker, and you know, up in the chest area, and everything I said would be funny and witty, and that's what alcohol does for me. It makes me perfect, man. It makes me funny, it makes me fit in, and that would happen right now if I was to drink. So I'm not done. It's one of my favorite things in the world is doing that and stealing cars and being a bad guy. I love doing it. Don't get me wrong. I don't do it out of virtue, staying sober. I do it because I don't want to blow my brains out. I've been to the very bottom, man, and the only thing that I've ever found work is the 12 steps and strong sponsorship and just going to a lot of meetings and getting it done. Guys, thank you very much for letting me talk.